Golgotha, the place of the skull. Betrayed by his friend Judas, Jesus was crucified by the Romans by order of the ruler Pontius Pilate. The causes of death were crucifixion, extreme exhaustion, severe torture, and loss of blood. Jesus Christ is a descendant of Abraham, was a member of the house of David. He was the son of the late Joseph, a carpenter of Nazareth, and Mary, his devoted mother. Jesus was born in a stable in the city of Bethlehem of Judea. He is survived by his mother Mary, his faithful apostles, numerous disciples, and many other followers. Jesus was self-educated and spent most of his adult life working as a teacher. Jesus occasionally worked as a medical doctor, and it is reported that he healed many patients. Up until the time of his death, Jesus was teaching and sharing the good news, healing the sick, touching the lonely, feeding the hungry, and helping the poor. Jesus was most noted for telling parables about his Father's kingdom and performing miracles, such as feeding over 5,000 people with only 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish, and healing a man who was born blind. On the day before his death, he held the Last Supper, celebrating the Passover feast at which he foretold his death. The body was quickly buried in a stone grave, which was donated by Joseph of Arimathea, a loyal friend of the family. By order of Pontius Pilate, a boulder was rolled in front of the tomb. Roman soldiers were put on guard there. In lieu of flowers, the family has requested that everyone live as Jesus did. Amen. Amen. And if you were to go visit his gravesite today, you will find it empty. Yes. You will find it gone. He is not there. He is not dead. He is alive. He is risen. And he wants to be involved in your life. And he'll be involved in your life to the degree that you want him involved. Amen. And one person said, the resurrection was God's amen to Jesus' statement, it is finished. So that's God's amen. Well, you know, Jesus did rise from the dead. He changed the calendar. He changed the world. And in doing that, he swallowed up death in victory. And because Jesus rose from the grave, anyone who believes in him, anyone who trusts in him, anyone who puts their faith in him, death has no sting. Amen. That's good news. But you know, we know the good news. We know that Jesus rose from the dead. But do you know why? Do you know why Jesus had to go through what he went through? And for just a moment today, I want to take you back, and I want to give you the reason why Jesus had to do what he did. Amen? You know, it's like when they show the Super Bowl team, they show all the victories, all the things that they went through to get to this point. Amen? Well, I'm going to take you back just a little bit so that we can finish on a high note today. Because really, today is a day of celebration. And when you understand what the resurrection means to you, you can better appreciate it. Amen? Amen. I am grateful that we have a Savior who rose from the dead. So I want to take you back to the beginning, and I want to show you why Jesus had to do what he did so that we can celebrate the victory that he did. Amen? Amen? And if you go with me to the book of Genesis, chapter 3, we're going to go back there because that's when it all started. And, you know, the thing about the resurrection is you can know it. The resurrection was meant for you to experience and to know and to actually participate with in your life. So in Genesis chapter 3, and we'll go from verse 1, it said, now the serpent was more subtle, more cunning than any of the wild animals that the Lord God had made. He said to the woman, did God really say, you can't eat from any tree in the garden? The woman said to the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, But about the fruit of the tree in the middle of the garden, God said, you must not eat it or touch it, or you will die. You will not die, the serpent said to the woman. In fact, God knows that when you eat it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. Then the woman saw that the tree was good for food and delightful to look at, and it was desirable for obtaining wisdom. So she took some of its fruit and ate. She also gave some to her husband who was with her, and he ate. Then the eyes of both of them were opened, and they knew that they were naked. So they sewed fig leaves together and made loincloths for themselves. How many know that sometimes we have all been affected by sin? And every one of us, at one time in our life, we've all fallen short of God's glory. And sin is the greatest problem that we face today. And if you wonder why bad things happen to good people, it is because of S-I-N, sin, all right? And we know the story. They sinned, they were separated from God. But I want you to look at verse 21. This is powerful. Look at verse 21. The Lord God made clothing out of the skins for Adam and Eve and his wife, and he clothed them. And that was a sign to them what God was going to do. You know, their fig leaves that they tried to cover up themselves with, it was not sufficient enough. It did not work. It did not solve the problem. God had to solve this problem. And from the very moment that man was created on this earth, Adam and Eve, God had a plan in place. Amen? He knows the end before the beginning. So here's what God showed me about sin. And this is from the story of Genesis. And I'm going to give you what sin did, but I'm going to tell you that what Jesus did to reverse it. Because everything that sin cost and lost, Jesus regained and gained for us. Okay? So we know this from the story of Adam and Eve. Sin, what is sin? It is disobeying God's word, breaking God's commands, trusting a lie, and listening to Satan. You know, Adam had the ability to tell that serpent where to go. He could have kicked them out of the garden because God had given the garden to him. Okay? And I got some good news for you ladies. It wasn't Eve's fault. Hallelujah. Even though she was deceived, Adam knew what God said. And irregardless, he should have obeyed God and not done what he did. Okay? So, righteousness, on the other hand, okay, sin is disobedience, but then righteousness is obeying God's word, keeping God's command, trusting in the truth, and listening to God. And because of what Jesus Christ, because of his resurrection, we can obey God, we can listen to God, and we can follow his commands. Another thing I saw in this story was, you know, Satan was the first sinner. And he was kicked out of heaven. He sinned. He was the first one to sin. So who do you think is behind every temptation for human beings to sin? Okay? He was the first one to fall. Okay? But here is what Jesus is, the firstborn from the dead. And through him, you can enter God's presence. Satan was the first to fall, and Adam yielded to him, but Jesus was the firstborn from the dead, and he gained back what Adam lost. He totally got the victory. Another thing I saw from this story is sin is deceptive. Eve was deceived. That's what she said. Sin seems good until you do it, then you're trapped. You know, Satan has a way of putting sin in a pretty package, but it's full of harmful things to you. And you don't see the harm until you get it. How many know that? Amen? How many know from our past mistakes? Right? Those mistakes cost us some things, didn't it? All right? Sin is deceptive, but I got good news for you. Righteousness is liberating and truly makes you free indeed. And the only one who can institute the cure for sin is God Almighty. And his plan has always been for his only son to become a man and to walk among the earth and to restore to us what was lost. Another thing I saw was sin brings a curse in this story in Genesis. Satan, the ground, and humans were cursed. Sin brings a curse. But we don't stop there. Righteous, Jesus gives life and gives it more abundantly. So righteousness brings a blessing and favor and God's goodness. So sin brings a curse, righteousness brings a blessing. Which would you rather have? Amen? And then another thing that I saw was sin brings death. God said man would die if he ate of this tree, and he died. What is death? It simply means, first of all, to be separated from the life of God. When Adam and Eve died, we didn't see them die physically, but they were separated from God in the fact that when God came amongst them, they hid themselves. So sin brings death, but Jesus gives life more abundantly. He said, the thief comes not but to steal, to kill, and to destroy. He said, but I have come that you may have life and have it more abundantly. How many want the more abundant life? If you want the abundant life, it's a choice that you have to make. God will never force you to choose, but he will give you an offer. He has given the world an invitation to come to him and to put their faith in him. You've got to believe. And if you believe, then you've got to act. Because your faith requires action to be validated. Another thing I saw in this story in Genesis is that sin alienates you from God and his presence. Adam and Eve were separated from God, and he hid from them, and they hid from him. So sin, it alienates you, you know? And that's why, as a church, we have to go to where the sinners are, amen? And we have to bring them in. Because there are occasions where they will come. I've had people come to this church, and they told me, they said, I was just driving by, and I was just compelled to come in. And I got to pray with them, and then they went on their way, amen? But something was drawing them in. Do you know that you can't come to God unless he's drawing you, unless he's compelling you? You got to understand, God wants you to be with him. He wants a relationship with you more than anything else. So sin alienates you, but Jesus brings you into God's presence, and he establishes a relationship between you and God. What was broken is now repaired. He's the repairer of the breach. Amen? And he can, and he did, repair anything that was broken. So maybe you're here today and maybe you're separated from God. Well, it doesn't take but a moment to come and be rejoined with him. Amen? Another thing that I learned from this story was that sin makes enemies between people and God. Didn't God say that I will put enmity between your seed and my seed and you and the woman? And sin causes enemies to come about, okay? But Jesus makes friends with God and people. Jesus wants to be your friend today. You know, he loves you. And he is the cure for sin. And he wants to be involved in your life. And what he did at the resurrection, it proves that everything he said was true. It proves that he is the Son of God. He is the Messiah. He is the Savior of the world. He took away the sins of the world. He's the Lamb of God. And in the story of Genesis, I also saw that sin brings sorrow and pain. But Jesus brings righteousness, peace, and joy forevermore. See, I want you to see, yes, sin is bad, but Jesus is good. Sin is destructive, but Jesus is helpful. He's restorative. Okay? And only Jesus could bridge the gap. And another thing I saw from this story in Genesis was sin changes your desires and appetites. How did Adam and Eve know to cover themselves? Because something inside of them was telling them that what they did was wrong. It's called your conscience. Did you know that every one of us are equipped with a conscience, and your conscience is the voice of the Holy Spirit? Really, ultimately, your conscience is your inner guide that God put in us to lead us on the right path. But too many times, we as people, we choose to ignore our conscience. And if I ask for a show of hands, all of us would have to raise our hands for ignoring our conscience at one time or another. Amen? We all did it. But that's why Jesus had to come and do what he did. See, I'm talking about sin because it adds to the victory of resurrection so much. It brings a greater understanding and a greater appreciation of what Jesus had to go through because of what we've been delivered from. Sin changes your desires and appetites, but Jesus causes you to hunger and thirst for righteousness. People who are connected with Jesus, there's a hunger and a thirst for what's right, for righteousness. You want to be around righteous people. You want to hear God's righteous words. You want to worship a righteous God because there's a hunger and a desire on the inside of you. I'm telling you, when Jesus comes into your life, you can't help but be changed. God will, he resurrects the dead. And, I know Lazarus was dead for 4 days. And he knows what it's like to experience the resurrection before Jesus returns again. You know, and I just remember Jesus, he stood in front of that tomb of Lazarus. Everybody was weeping. Everybody was looking at the impossibility. But Jesus knew who he was. He is the resurrection and the life. And see, a dead person represents someone who's dead spiritually. If you're dead spiritually, then you need a jump charge from the resurrection. Just like a dead battery, right? You ever have a dead battery? Well, you can connect a good battery to a dead battery, and you can bring life to that dead battery. And our batteries were dead, and the only good battery was Jesus Christ. And when we get connected to him, life comes to us. I thought I'd just be all calm and cool today. It's a labor for me to be calm, cool. Sin is harmful. It produces thorns and thistles and death. Romans 5 tells us that through one man, sin entered the world, and death through sin. So that tells me death wasn't here in this world until sin occurred. So the reason why bad things happen to good people is because of sin. I said that before. Sin is the world's greatest problem. Sin affects all of humanity. Did you know that sin causes cancer? Sin causes all kinds of disease. There wasn't any of that in this earth until sin came. There wasn't anything bad happening until sin occurred. But when sin occurred, sin is harmful. But Jesus, he takes away your pain and he heals your diseases. Only Jesus can erase the harmful effects of sin and reverse them. Only Jesus can do away with sin. Another thing that I learned from the story in Genesis was sin requires a blood sacrifice. Because, did you know that? Well, I'm getting ahead of myself. Okay, Adam and Eve sinned. What was their sin? They did not do what God said. God said, do not eat of this. Okay? Let me just use this as an example. Think about this now. If you have all these chairs that you can sit in, just don't sit in this one chair. But you can sit in all these other chairs that you want. Sit in them as many times as you want. You can lay on these chairs if you want. Just don't sit on this one chair. That's what God gave Adam and Eve. He gave them everything, and he told them one thing, do not do. Adam and Eve, they saw that the chair was comfortable. They touched it. Oh, that feels good. Lust of the eyes, lust of the flesh. And they said, boy, if I sit in that chair, I'm going to be important. I'm going to be special. The pride of life. Those are the three entry points that sin has in a person. Sin will not come to you in any... Do you know that sin affects your flesh? Sin attracts and attacks your flesh. And it draws you to something that God said no to. And the reason God said no to it is because God knows the other side of the coin. God knows how it's going to harm you. God knows how it's going to destroy you. God knows how it's going to steal from you. So he tells you ahead of time not to do it. He pleads with you. They did not have to do it. But Adam and Eve. Oh, yes! Woo! Wait a minute. What just happened? I want you to notice that the minute they ate of that fruit, sin started to work in their life. Now, you may not see the effects of sin right away, but if you're not doing what God said, sin is working in your life. I'm telling you this, it's kind of like when you break a bone, I'm setting the bone so that I can put the cast on it. Right? Right now we're just setting the bone, but look at your neighbor and smile and say, it's going to get better. All right, sin requires a blood sacrifice. Jesus is the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world, and he clothes us with righteousness. His ultimate sacrifice was to give up his life on a cross. The cross was his altar where the Lamb of God was slain. And then finally, sin causes loss that cannot be recovered from. What did God do after Adam and Eve sinned? They lost the garden. They could not enter the garden again. Doesn't mean that they couldn't have a relationship with God, but where they were was lost, wasn't it? What did God do? He put an angel at the entrance. And they could not go back to the garden because sin, that was a loss that they could not get back to. But how many know, if you put your faith in Jesus, there is a garden in heaven. Amen? Because everything that was lost Do you know where Jesus won the battle? He won it in the garden. Adam lost it in the garden. Jesus won it in the garden, where he prayed to God and the sweat of his brow turned like drops of blood that fell to the ground. When his blood hit that ground, the curse that was from the garden was redeemed, was reversed. So what do we do with this sin? This is a problem that we can't solve. If man could save himself, then Jesus would have never had to come. But how many know that Jesus had to come because we, as human beings, we cannot save ourselves? Every person born after Adam was tainted with sin. Every person born after Adam had a sin nature on the inside of them. It's a nature that wars against God. And only through repentance and accepting God's provision can we overcome that. So what do we do with sin? If you're taking notes, you can write these down, but you don't have to bring them up on the screen. Proverbs 28:13. Don't try to cover your sin. If you cover your sin, you won't prosper. But if you confess your sin, you'll receive mercy. So if you need mercy today, confess your sin to God. You don't have to confess it to me. Just tell God to receive mercy. Amen? Isaiah 55:7. It says, the wicked should forsake his way. If you're wicked, stop it. Stop being wicked. Stop doing what's wrong. Start doing what's right. Through Jesus Christ, you have the ability to do it. We can change through Jesus Christ. Ephesians 4:12 says, put off the body of sins and of the flesh. Stop sinning and start living. I like that. Say that with me. Say, stop sinning and start living. I think we're going to make a campaign. Everybody get a campaign badge. Stop sinning and start living. Well, how can I do it? Through Jesus Christ, you can. Through the resurrected Savior, you can. If he's raised from the dead, you can be raised from the dead too. Amen? You know, so many people work so hard at their job to get a raise. Well, God will give you a raise every day. Amen? God specializes in raises. Colossians 2:11. Put off the body of sin, of the sins of the flesh. Hebrews 12:1. Lay aside every weight and sin that trips you up. You got some things in your life that are like stones in your way and they cause you to trip and fall and hurt yourself. You know, one time I was riding a bike with my sister and a long time ago, and I had my sister's bike. It was a powder blue bike with a flowered seat. Thank God I was young and didn't know the difference. Well, we were riding our bikes to my grandfather's house, and we went down this big hill, and my powder puff blue bike with the flowered seat was not equipped to handle this hill, and all of a sudden, the hill started to shake, and next thing I know, I was kissing the pavement. Both my elbows and both my knees were scraped. Needless to say, I laid aside that bike that caused me to fall. But today is a day of laying aside the weight. You know, sin can be a weight in your life. Sin can cost you more than you want to pay. It'll take you further than you want to go. But today you can be rid of that burden. Today you can be relieved of that pressure. Today you can experience the resurrection power of our Savior. 1 Peter 2:1, abstain from fleshly lusts, which war against your soul. You got some things that are warring against your soul today? Well, God's message is to abstain from it, and we need the Lord's help to do that. Proverbs 16:6 says, turn from evil and fear the Lord. You can make a right turn today. Amen? And you know what? All of us have had to do this. What I'm going to ask you to do in a few moments, I did when I was 12 years old. I went to a church just like this one today, except in that church at Abundant Life Tabernacle in LaSalle, Illinois, there was probably only about 8 people. It was during the midweek service. My sister, thank God for my sister, Kristen. She would ask me to go to church. Thank God for the people who ask you to go to church, invite you to go to church, who pray for you. She kept at it. And I've told this story, you know, when I would say no, she would just say, okay. Next week, you want to go to church? No? Okay. Next week, you want to go to church? Well, how long is the service? Well, about 2 hours. 2 hours for church? Guess what happened next week? Next week, I was there. And I heard a message just like you're hearing today. And he said in that service, Pastor Lloyd Curry, he said, is there anyone that would like to make Jesus their personal Lord and Savior? I'm kind of looking at my sister, you know, and when you're not sure, you kind of do the half hand raise thing. Okay, yeah. And I walked up front, and I asked Jesus to come into my life, and he did. He came into my life in such a way that I got knocked on the floor, and I was laughing and crying at the same time. Amen? And there's not a person that comes through these doors here that I don't want the same for. And I'm fighting for you today. Ezekiel 18, 25 through 28 says, turn from wickedness and do what is just. And then finally, James 1, 21, rid yourselves of all moral filth and evil. Humbly receive the implanted word of God, which is able to save your soul. You know, God's word is able to save your soul. Amen. And here was God's promise. You know, there's never a problem that you can face that God won't give you a promise to solve. He always solves a problem with a promise through the person of Jesus Christ. Here's a scripture in 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 3 to 7. You can pull it up there, so I want you to see it. 1 Timothy 2, 3 through 7. It says, this is good, and it pleases God our Savior, who wants everyone to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. Say this with me. Say, God wants everyone to be saved. So if someone is destroyed, it was not God's will for that to happen. God wants everyone to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth, for there is one God and one mediator between God and humanity, Christ Jesus, himself human, who gave himself a ransom for all, a testimony at the proper time. For this I was appointed a herald and an apostle. I'm telling you the truth and I'm not lying, and a teacher of the Gentiles in faith and truth. So God wants people to be saved. The reason that he sent his son Jesus Christ is because we needed a savior, and we needed someone who was a God-man. We needed someone who was God and someone who was man, and the perfect combination, we get Jesus the Messiah, Jesus Christ. You know, Christ isn't his last name. It's Jesus the Messiah. Christ is a title. It's like when you get when you become a knight in England, they call you Sir. You know, imagine if I went to England and got knighted, I would be Sir Pastor Douglas. Amen. Just not into all that. I just said that to say that Christ is a title. So God's plan was that he was going to come to earth as a man. Because way back in Genesis, he gave authority to man to dominate the earth. And so here was God as a man. And Satan, he thought Jesus was just like everybody else. He looked like him. He talked like him. He walked like him. And, he even smelled like him. Come on, Jesus was man. And Satan tried his very best to tempt Jesus. But Jesus resisted. He said, it is written. It is written. It is also written. And he resisted, and Satan couldn't do anything. He couldn't bring any accusation against Jesus because Jesus was without sin. He is the spotless Lamb of God. And see, he had to pay a ransom. The ransom was blood. Blood, only blood can cover the sin. Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. Blood had to be shed. And it had to be a pure, spotless male lamb. And Jesus fit all the bill. He was everything that God required. And he came. And here's what happened to him. You want to understand the price that it took to deliver us from sin? Isaiah 56, he was beaten and whipped. His beard was plucked out and he was spit upon. Isaiah 53, he was despised and rejected. He's a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief. Isaiah 53, 5, he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquity, and by his stripes you are healed. In Zechariah 13, 6, he was wounded between his arms, and he described it as from the house of his friends. You can read it, it's a prophecy. He was wounded between his arms. Mark 15, 34, he was forsaken by God. Why? Why did God forsake him when he was on the cross? Because at that moment, he became sin who knew no sin. At that moment, he took the sin of the world on himself. And when, excuse me, and when he became sin, God had to forsake him. God had to turn away. One of the sayings on the cross was, he said, my God, why have you forsaken me? Because at that moment, he became the sin that you and I have done. He took the mistakes, he took the faults, he took the shortcomings of everyone in this world upon himself. But he didn't leave it on himself. He nailed that sin to the cross. He nailed it to the cross. And when he prayed, his sweat became like blood. He became the captain of our salvation through the suffering that he did. And he was on that cross. He was falsely accused. Pontius could not find any fault in him. Pilate pleaded with the people. But they wanted to crucify him because they were being motivated by Satan's voice. He was whispering in there, crucify him, crucify him. So they crucified him. They let a murderer go and they crucified a savior who never did anything wrong, who never committed a crime, who never mistreated any person. And the devil thought he'd won. The devil thought he had the last laugh. But then, after the crucifixion, and they took that body down, he fulfilled everything that was spoken about him up to that point. He fulfilled every prophecy. He accomplished everything. He did everything that was required. And in the sixth hour, darkness. It was at about noontime, darkness came. Earthquake happened. Graves were opened. And the centurion looked and said, surely he was the Son of God. Other people, when they saw bodies bursting out of the graves, they said, surely he was the Son of God. And so they took his body down and they laid it in a tomb that was given to him by Joseph of Arimathea. And the Pharisees, they didn't want any mischief to take place because he had spoken about the resurrection. He said, if you destroy this temple in 3 days, I will rise it again. And they said, how's that going to happen? This temple took 40 years. They did not understand that he was talking about his body, this temple right here. And so he laid in that tomb. He descended down into the lower depths. Bible says he led captivity captive. Do you realize that when he descended down, he paid the price for us all to be free. His price was sufficient for the whole world to be set free from the dominion of sin. And so while he was down there, he looked at Satan, he said, give me those keys to death, hell, and the grave. He took the keys. Because if you read 1 Corinthians, he destroyed him who had power over death, that is Satan. How did Satan get power over death? When man sinned, Satan then was given power over death. So essentially, man gave Satan the ability to do that. So he took the keys from Satan to death, hell, and the grave. And he went down to the hardware store. And he took those keys. And he said, I'd like to get some copies of these keys made to death, hell, and the grave. And everyone who puts their trust in me, everyone who calls on the name of the Lord, everyone who believes that I'm the Son of God, you're going to get a copy of these keys that I won the victory for. And then, as it was almost today, we get to Resurrection Day. God started to count down backwards. 10, 9. Satan was getting nervous, saying, God, what are you doing? What's going on, God? 8, 7. What's happening, God? 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Blast off! He rose from the grave to ever live again. He proved beyond a shadow of a doubt that he was who he said he was, and he is who he said he is. And because he rose from the dead, he gained the greatest victory for you and I. Let me tell you, I just got to tell you what he did. Death is swallowed up in victory. He said in Isaiah 25, verse 8, I will swallow up death forever. The Lord God will wipe away tears from all these faces. Hebrews 2, 14 through 18. Inasmuch as the children have partaken of flesh and blood, he himself likewise shared in the same, that through death he might destroy him who had power over death, that is the devil. Thank God that Jesus destroyed the power of death. He overcame death. Death couldn't hold him down. The grave couldn't hold him in. The devil couldn't stop him. And that's good news for you and I. And release those who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. Let me tell you something. As a believer in Christ Jesus, you do not have to fear death. Because just like Jesus, death for you is victory. Death for you means you leave this body and you are forever with the Lord God Almighty. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord Jesus Christ. I tell you what, we've got something to shout about. We've got something to be excited about. This was the greatest victory that has ever occurred in the universe. I like what Colossians said. Jesus made a show of the enemy openly. He busted him open. He defeated him in front of all the angelic host. Satan was defeated through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. There's something about the resurrection that just gets me going. And then finally in Revelation, what he's going to do, Revelation 20, 11 through 15, and verse 14, death and Hades were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. Eventually, when Jesus comes again, he's going to do away with all death. Amen? And we will never have a dead day again. There's never going to be a dead service. There's never going to be a dead person. Amen? But how do you know that Jesus rose from the dead? I'm so glad you asked that question. Here's what Lee Strobel said. I went to a psychologist friend and said, if 500 people claimed to see Jesus after he died, it was just a hallucination. He said, hallucinations are an individual event. If 500 people had the same hallucination, that's a bigger miracle than the resurrection. 1 Corinthians 15 tells us he appeared to 500 people. He appeared to Mary Magdalene. He appeared to his 11 disciples. He appeared to Peter. He appeared to James. And from the 40 days, he was showing up in all kinds of places. And guess what? He's still showing up today because he's here. Amen? Amen. Jesus is here. Our history, this is what Watchman Nee says. Our history ends with the cross. Our new history begins with the resurrection. And here's what Martin Luther said. In his life, Christ is an example showing us how to live. In his death, he is a sacrifice satisfying for our sins. In his resurrection, a conqueror. In his ascension, a king. In his intercession, a high priest. Amen? He wears all those hats. Jesus rose from the dead. And go with me to Romans chapter 6. And we're almost at the finish line. That means I'm getting ready to commence to start to finish. I want you to read Romans chapter 6, starting with verse 1 with me. They'll put it up on the screen. We're going to read a few verses here. What should we say then? Should we continue in sin that grace may multiply? What's the answer? Absolutely not. Let me tell you something. You know, you heard the statement, the buck stops here. Sin stops here today. Amen? You are not going to leave with your sin baggage today. You are not going to leave with those heavy weights today. We're going to check those weights here today at the counter, and you're not going to take them with you. You're going to leave here free. You're going to leave here changed. You're going to leave here raised with Christ. Okay, you don't have to read with me. You can just follow along. How can we who died to sin still live in it? Isn't that true? If you died to sin, how do you die to sin? You are in partnership with Jesus Christ. Or are you unaware that all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? Therefore, we were buried with him by baptism into death in order that, just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, so we too may walk in a new way of life. The whole deal about the resurrection is so that you can walk in a new way of life. You can enter by a new way of living, a new and fresh anointing. Amen? There is a fresh anointing for you today. You didn't know you were going to get a faith lift today, did you? It's free from Botox, by the way. Verse 5, for if we have been joined with him in the likeness of his death, we will certainly also be in the likeness of his resurrection. Are you willing to join him today? We're still taking applications for the flock. Amen. Verse 6, for we know that our old self was crucified with him in order that sin's dominion over the body may be abolished. Good news. So that we may no longer be enslaved to sin. Since a person who has died is freed from sin's chains, now if we died with Christ, we believe that we will also live with him. Because we know that Christ, having been raised from the dead, will not die again. Death no longer rules over him. For in light of that fact that he died to sin once for all. But in light of that fact, he lives to God. So you too consider yourselves dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. So here's what the resurrection really means for us today. It means that you can become a member of God's house. How do you become a member of a house? You're either adopted or you're born there. You can become a member of God's house today. You can be born again. Jesus said you must be born again. You can't see the Father without Jesus Christ. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, and it's only by him that we can see the Father. So you can be born again today. Today you can be accepted in the Beloved. You know, God loves you whether you stay in your sin or not. He doesn't want you to stay in your sin. Everything he did was to get you out of that. But it is your choice. Everybody has a choice today. You can choose to carry on your life like Jesus never did anything. And you can live your life, but there is a way that seems right unto man, in the end leads to death. You know, how many people in our community just think that today is just another Sunday? They don't see any significance about what Jesus has done for us. He destroyed sin in our lives. So you can be accepted in the Beloved. You can become a follower of Christ. Listen, once you accept Christ, that's not the end, that's the beginning. You got to now follow him. You got to play follow the leader. You got to do what he says, go where he says go. You got to get into God's word. And if you don't have a home church, well, we would love to have you here at Victory Christian Fellowship, because we love people. And just like that, just like the song they danced to, we believe in God the Father. We believe in the Holy Spirit. We believe in the Son. We believe in the resurrection. Amen? You believe in the resurrection today? Then let your belief translate into action today. And you can walk through the entrance that's been supplied to you abundantly for the kingdom of God today. And that's really what the resurrection all means. It means that we have gotten the victory over sin. And if you're bound by sin today, you can be free today. Amen? And this is what it's all about. So bow your heads with me and pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, you have brought these people here today. They've heard your word. They've seen what you've delivered us from. Father, and I believe that by the power of the Holy Spirit right now, you're drawing us to yourself in the name of Jesus. And Father, those hearts, Lord, begin to draw them. Lord, draw them to yourself. Lord, help them to make a choice to follow after you in the name of Jesus. And I'm going to ask a question for you today. If you're here today and you've heard what I've said and there's something touching your heart, and is there anybody here that doesn't know Jesus as your Savior? You've never invited Jesus into your heart. You've never invited him to be Lord of your life. And is there anybody here today that you don't know Jesus? Amen? Because I want you to experience the resurrection power. There is power in the resurrection. And that power is available for us today. Maybe you need to change something in your life. Doesn't mean you're a bad person. It just means that the way you're going isn't producing the results that you want. And you want to change. And you've been struggling to change, but you need help to change. Well, God will help you make that change today. He will lift you up. And if there's anybody here like that, I'd like to just pray for you. And if you need prayer for anything, if you need prayer for healing in your body, amen, we have resurrection power. There's power here to save and to heal and to deliver and to set free and to touch in the name of Jesus. If you need prayer in your life today, I would just love for the opportunity to pray with you, for God to help you and to touch you in whatever it is that you need. Is there anyone here that would say, Pastor Doug, I need prayer. I just want to invite you to come up right now and receive. Why don't we stand up? You can stand up. Peter saw the power of Jesus in his life. And he threw himself down. He said, Lord, I'm a sinful man. He said, depart from me. Now, I can't imagine that. I know that coming up is a hard thing, but God wants to touch some people today. And if you need prayer in any area of your life, I want you to come and to receive the living water that God is offering today in the name of Jesus. There's no need too small. There's no need too great that he can't handle, because God likes working in the lives of people. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you for the power of your Holy Spirit. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We bless your holy name. Jesus.